Sure. The Max TCC met on the 15th, called the order 10 o'clock, and there we had 12 folks present that come through the quorum. We covered the policy update. Don Tushing presented that, and we reviewed the requirements with the committee. There was some discussion about several items that the CAC had brought up, mainly about how to post notices on for transit complaints on transit buses, and contact information about Title VI complaints for federal highways. Anne-Marie Day with Federal Highway was there, and Morgan Simmons with GDOT was there. They offered information and assistance to help with those concerns, and we're going to try to address those. And the committee voted to recommend the Title VI update be adopted. We reviewed the bylaws. There was discussion regarding proposed revisions of the bylaws. I informed the committee about the concern of the CAC regarding proposed changes. I mentioned there was one change we made. I'm going to go over that when we get that item on the agenda. There was a vote by the committee to recommend revisions of the bylaws be adopted as proposed by the bylaw subcommittee. We went over the draft 2016 UPWP. Anne-Marie Day with Federal Highway offered information regarding changes which we should consider before the final document is adopted later this year. And those changes relate to the planning emphasis areas for FY16 that Federal Highway has established. And both Federal Highway and GDOT said that they would work with the NPO staff to address those issues. And the committee voted to recommend adoption of the 2016 UPWP as a draft document. We got a project update with Jack Reed, status report, and he asked a question from the committee. And under new business, Ken North presented information regarding an amendment to the PIP regarding 5316 and 5317 transit funding, and the committee voted to recommend approval of those amendments.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Next on the agenda is public input. Anybody from the public want to address it? Scott Holliday. Recognize the 5 minutes, sir.
Chairs, I pass this to some of the good members. I'm recommending as a change in your policy, proposed changes, bylaws, that we move from voting to non-voting any policy positions that are non-elected government employees or non-elected government appointees. I think there's a lot of concern to people I've talked to. I'm discussing the CAC meeting with one of the voters, and my friends were all concerned. And I think the commissioners last night, I raised this issue before the entire commission. People who are non-elected government employees should not have a vote on these multi-million dollar projects. Their advice is invaluable. But this is taxpayer money, and only elected persons should dispense and disperse these money. On another issue, the CAC charged me to talk about Forest Hill Road. There's an ongoing speeding problem, and we would like to see some modifications in the ultimate striping of this piece of asphalt to include traffic calming and more of a complete streets type design that would be safer for pedestrians and bikers. So we're not talking about a major overhaul, we're just talking about some minor restriping of the final product. And I brought this up, excuse me, to the TCC. I've asked them several times about this. They said there was no money for it, but I would like the TCC, I'd like this committee to respond. How much money would that cost? And if the citizens could find that money, would this committee go along with adding traffic calming elements to the Forest Hill Road project. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Holliday. Just for clarification, I was trying to understand your suggestion, and I was looking at the proposed bylaw, but this is a part that I think is already in existence, and it's got down here that that other voting members would include the chairman of the Bibb County Transit Authority, Craig Ross. Under your suggestion, that would take him to be a non-voting member, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Next is the chairman of the Middle Georgia Regional Commission.
Yes, sir.
Go to a non-voting member. Next is the planning and zoning commission, chairman of the planning and zoning.
Yes, sir.
Non-voting. Chairman of the water authority, no, that's elected.
He's elected.
That's elected. Sir, there's one left. Yes. Commissioner of the Georgia Department of Transportation.
Yes,
no,
sir.
No vote.
Invaluable input, but they certainly control the money already.
Chairman of the Citizens Advisory Committee?
They don't fit this.
Mm-hmm. Because, so you let them vote for the chairman.
They that would work.
Of transportation.
They're neither a government employee.
I'm just trying to be sure.
Okay, I'm letting you clarify that. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
They're neither a government employee, nor they're a government appointee.
Okay.
And they are elected by citizens who represent citizen groups. The mayor of Payne City, last election, there were 15 voters in Payne City. And Payne City has a vote in here. That person would still be a voting member, even though she's elected by no more people than our chairman of the CSC, who is an extremely studied, focused citizen group. So the CSC does not fit this parameters.
Thank you.
And a correction on that, and then I'm correct. Payne City citizens voted in the last election 16 votes for the active 200 residents. So, yeah.
Right.
All right. Correct. Thank you, Dr. Holliday. Appreciate it. Anybody else under citizens of non-public?
The CAC represents, I'm the League of Women Voters, that's 100 members, the bikers, thousands of bikers. We represent an enormous constituency that's really focused and distilled, and so, yes, you're correct. If there are 200 voters in Payne City, only 15 voted, the CAC represents thousands of special interest citizens, and so your point is well taken, sir.
All right, thank you very much. We're moving on the agenda then. And,
yes, sir.
I've got a comment. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you, Michael. Michael Ryan, go right ahead, sir. You're recognized in 5 minutes.
I'm Michael Ryan. I'm currently the CAC Vice District Representative. However, to stay ahead of what I think is going to be a purge of that group, I'm hereby resigning my seat on the CAC. But I want to make some comments about public participation process and the number one priority of this organization as I've seen it operate over 30 years. My first policy committee meeting I attended in 1984, 30 years ago. I have never felt that the public was really listened to in any meeting I've been to. So, and I've been to a lot of them. Regarding what I see as this group's number one priority, as evidenced in the mass process over the years, that priority is economic development. It's highly flawed. If you look at Macon, I grew up in Macon. I've lived here for 60-something years. When I was a kid, Pinona was the edge of Macon. It was actually even dirt roads when I was a kid, two-lane road. I can well remember, and I'm sure you can also, Mayor, that when Westgate was opened in the late 50s, early 60s, right? The greatest thing since sliced bread, enclosed mall. Right? what's with West Heat now is what you would call a gray field. It's empty. Walmart has been there, Home Depot have been there, but they've all moved miles further out. And that's a result of some really flawed land use priorities here. But Pinona area used to be a residential area. Pinona used to be lined with many residential structures. Those that are still left are very often blighted structures, on the edge of blighted neighborhoods by what is now a 4-to-5-lane road. Westgate is dead, except for the operation of the police department there, and all that economic activity is out at 475 or further out, even. The mall even is now half dead. Okay, that's my comment about flawed priority there with the economic development. The first priority should be do no harm. Regarding the public input process, I refer to the South Downtown Connector, which has been on this body's agenda for 30 years almost. I attended the meetings that were held in the Tyndall Heights area when that project was being proposed. And by the time the public meetings were held, the project was pretty much already fixed. The public input was just a show. The public were promised various things. The road was built, and the promises were all reneged upon. So it's a flawed process. You should not try to control the membership of the CAC. You should allow it to citizens who are not affiliated with the government to maintain control of that and provide you with the advice that they receive from members of the community. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Ron. Appreciate that. We'll move on with our agenda now.
Pardon me.
I'm sorry.
Just a few short comments. Please identify yourself for the record. Okay, I'm Nicholas Petrak, a citizen of Macon, member of the CAC. And also the Board of Equalization, which is where my comments more than anything else come from.
Okay.
Right now, having been a member of the Board of Equalization for six years now, it gives me some insight into what has been a big issue, which is blight in this city, and how that combines with some other issues that has always been brought up here before the policy committee. Just this year, we've had a situation where a person came to us under an appeal, bought a house, 1870s house that he thought he was going to be able to restore for one reason or another, especially because of the condition and the fact that it was close to the interstate and very badly situated from the point of noise from the interstate. It was impractical for him to put the money into that house to restore it, and the house had to be torn down. He came to us for an appeal for some help in that situation. Well, we agreed with him, but we could only bring him down to the value of the land. But the value of the land in that section has been set years ago, and it was way higher than any practical possibility of him ever selling that piece of property. So the end result of that is, of course, we made a recommendation to the tax assessors that they're going to have to reevaluate all the property in that neighborhood from land value basis. So not having sound barriers along I-75 is causing more blight, more loss of taxes, more loss of people willing to spend the money to rebuild.
I often thought that it's a simple thing for us to do, and I sure wish you would all consider doing it and adding it into one of these projects. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate your input. Anybody else? I'm about to turn around here. Anybody else? Citizen input? Okay, let's move on with the agenda then. First item is our Title VI update. Don, are you going to do that?
Yes.
Can you keep us away?
Well, I'll try not to bore you too much. The Title VI documentation, we are now required to put the Title VI, the Limited English Proficiency, and the Public Participation Plan all together in one great big document. And then there were a few other things that we had to do. You were sent an email with the link where it is posted. So all three reports were put in there. And the Title VI was from the January application for the 5303 funds that we get for planning for transit. So that was the application package that went through the process back in January and February. Now, the limited English proficiency was the one that was submitted last spring. I believe it was in April or May when we had the policy meeting. And we had a few suggestions. I changed the tables and the headings on the tables as Mr. Tillman wanted. And that was basically the change in there. So that was, the draft was approved with those comments, and I addressed those. The public participation plan is the current public participation plan that we have now. That will be updated this fiscal year. We are going to have to make some changes in that plan and how we address things and do more community outreach to meet the new requirements under the participation provisions. The other major change was the notification, and you all have a notification of civil rights to the public for civil rights under Title VI. And that meets the new requirements, and we listed not just the Federal Transit Administration, the regional office in Atlanta, the Washington, D.C. office, and then we put the Federal Highway Administration civil rights person on there, and then Jack Reed from District 3, he's the GDOT local civil rights contact for Title VI here, and then Jim Thomas is listed there because no matter where it goes to, it eventually has to come back to the technical director. And the last paragraph basically states a preliminary provision as to how you would deal with a Title VI. When it gets to Jim, it is forwarded on to all the MATS committees with a copy of it saying we have received this, and then the chairman will either set a special called meeting or at a regularly scheduled meeting, we will discuss that, and the MATS policy committee will get input as to how to deal with that. And that would be basically open to the public. It would not be the official hearing or anything. And then once that is discussed and the policy committee determines how they want to proceed with this, then the official hearing on the complaint would be heard at that time. So those are the basic changes that we are proposing.
Very good. Let me be sure I understand, and I'm looking at this little notice that's in our packet, and I'm sure Jim James will be interested in taking one back so that the print media here locally will be informed as to the process. This is basically for our information to tell us how we have updated and complied with the requirements for Title VI.
Yes, sir. And the notification page is already up on our website under the MATS section of the Planning and Zoning, under the Civil Rights page.
Right.
It is also posted on our bulletin boards in the 9th and 10th elevator lobbies.
Okay.
And we will. I didn't look to see if we had. Ken, did we have the poster board up? Okay, we didn't get that. Okay, we are from now on, starting in January, and see, our deadline was by the end of this year to adopt this. From now on, when you come into a MATS meeting, there will be a poster board that will have the notification there, and also we will have our limited English proficiency statement that if somebody needs assistance, and that would not only apply to like language, but also to the deaf if we need an interpreter. So those things will be posted, and I think that will bring us into compliance with all the latest requirements. And we just got the final requirements from GDOT Intermodal back in September, about the middle of September. We had a conference call with them.
Is there any action that we need to take?
Yes, you need to officially adopt the combined plan. Yeah, and then we will put it out for public. We need to put that out for public comment again and such.
So, okay. Questions?
You said that there were new requirements for public participation. Have you gotten into those enough to be able to tell us what they are?
That's what we'll be working on. Those have not been fully addressed. We have some preliminary indications. We talked about it preliminarily, but we will be doing that. And in fact, just this week, Jim said we really need to get started on that. And we're going to try to have the draft ready for the February policy committee.
Yeah, we're in the process of updating our public participation.
Yeah, we're going to have to do new outreach. And we talked a little bit about contacting the local Hispanic paper and doing that. But we're going to have to do other types of outreach, too. There's going to have to be more outreach to meet the public participation requirements. So, and they're still coming up with, the guidelines haven't been set in stone at the federal and the state level yet, so we're all working together to try to figure this out. This is part of the new surface transportation requirements.
Question, proposed bylaw changes for the Citizen Advisory Committee, do those fit into this Title VI and public input requirements, best you can tell?
That's basically how the CAC functions as part of the MATS committee. Most of the new requirements are for outreach beyond what the existing MATS committee will be. So no matter what the policy committee decides as to how the CAC is to be set up, it can work within the framework that we need to work within that's being proposed.
Sure. Other questions? Comments? Then the policy that we are adopting, is it summarized in this notification sheet, or is there something separate that would have been passed out that we all...
No, the report is... must be 150, 200 pages long, all of it together. So we set the link so you can go up and take a look at it. And of course, if we go ahead and adopt it at this time, if the MATS Policy Committee at the next meeting wants to make changes to it, we can make those changes at the February meeting.
Because did you just say that you were going to circulate this? Or?
Well, it's up on the web. And we sent out the link. We can resend that out. If you would like.
All right. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the Title VI revisions that Don has just described to us, and the notice that will be made available as part of outreach. All on all jumps at one time.
I'll make the motion to approve it.
Motion by Mr. Patterson.
I'll second it so it won't die.
Good. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, I assume you ready to vote. All those in favor of adopting the revisions to the requirements of Title VI that have been discussed and proposed by Don Tooley, you say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
I would like to abstain, Mr. Chair. Because I just feel like we have enough information to vote on.
I'm not sure that's a conflict of interest for yourself, literally, but rather than abstain, if you wanted to vote no.
I'm not sure whether I'm in.
I don't think we've got the provisions for abstentions because you don't know.
You either have to do, either have to vote. I mean, you've got a conflict of interest with us, and that's one thing you can have to say, but I think you need to vote one way or the other, either up or down, yes or no.
Glad you got on record in the recording that we just got this.
Yeah.
You have to make the final vote on something.
My impression is that we're required to operate under outreach about proficiency in English language and depth and giving people reasonable input and information. This is a technical requirement. The email link has been sent out to members of the board for those that wanted to go and review and detail this 125-page report.
The agenda doesn't say it's an action item with the vote, it just says review.
It doesn't have to say for it action in the agenda.
It's already voted.
You can't pass it. It's an action item. It doesn't have to say it's an action.
Back in. Back to Heine. Heine, what do you want to do? You want to continue to try to abstain or vote no? What do you want to do?
Well, I really do want to abstain because the email with the link, I think I got this morning. And it wasn't that it wasn't sent earlier. But we discussed this program at our meeting. So we did discuss it. But apparently there's new information that we would like to look at.
Excuse me, Tom, when was it sent?
Pardon?
When was it sent out to the board?
The link was sent out last week.
Last
week. Yeah, see, so we never talked about this. Title 6 information at previous.
Right. Yeah, you know, the Title 6, the only changes I made, I also, so that people wouldn't have to jump from one report to the other with this great big internal report, I did take the population numbers and the racial breakdowns. And I put those tables because they were a new requirement in the Title VI. So that went through the process last January or February, and then in April we did approve the draft LEP. And the only changes to that was the column headings on the racial breakdown. I had put black and Mr. Tillman wanted African American, so I had to go in there and adjust it. I was able to fit it, got that taken care of. Everything else in the LEP is what was approved in the draft, and the public participation plan has been adopted. It is current and is already adopted. And the only real change was the notification sheet, which you have there, and that meets the requirements of how people are to be notified. It increases the contacts, and it sets up the procedure as to how the Title VI complaint will be moved through the process. So those are the changes. I mean, there really is nothing else in those reports that spells that out. And the new requirements that Mr. Webb was talking about, we will be addressing those in the public participation plan that we will be drafting and will be presented to the policy committee, hopefully in February.
I thought you said it had to be adopted this year.
Well,
that's where my confusion is coming, because if we're adopting something now that we haven't seen, how do we do that?
No, we're not adopting the new public participation plan. We're adopting the existing one. We are not required, to have it done by the end of the year. What is required of us is to come up with a public participation plan by the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th.
So the idea is we would adopt the current one, and then we would change it.
Yeah.
So,
I'll
vote
yes. Okay, good. Very good indeed. All right. Moving on to the next. We have the Matt's bylaws and the status of the revision. Jim, why don't you lead us through that, kind of tell us where we are and what we have done thus far as the first reading and review and submission and now to the second meeting.
Okay. There are two documents that are action items today. One is the MATS bylaws, one is the MOU for MATS. The bylaws, this is the second hearing regarding bylaws. These were presented at the last policy board meeting. The bylaws require that there be two meetings before they're adopted. Going further back, the mayor appointed a subcommittee to go through the bylaws. It was Craig, me, the mayor, Ivy, Jalen, and we went through the bylaws and came up with suggested changes and made that presentation at the last policy board. And there was a little discussion last time. So this go around, we need to act on it. There are a couple of changes that we need to make on the proposed bylaws. On page 11 in the TCC section, we need to remove paragraphs 4A and 4B because state law doesn't allow us to do that. Those sections allow for proxy votes by folks that are not at the meeting. The Georgia Open Records Open Meetings Law required that we be at the meeting to vote, so we're just going to strike those and take those out. So the PCC, you've got to be at the meeting to vote.
Probably on page 11, I would suggest or recommend that we adjust the quorum to 7 to match the initial recommendation.
So let's do these one at a time. The first recommendation that Jim discussed with us is in the technical coordinating committee bylaw. And what they put in there is under 4A and 4B about doing things in a sense of urgency and that kind of thing. They have now discovered this not appropriate, and they are suggesting that to perfect the bylaws, we eliminate the language that is shown as being deleted on page 11. So the chair would entertain a motion to revise the proposed bylaws accordingly.
So moved.
Motion by Daylon, second by Jaime. Any further discussion on that? Then all in favor of deleting the language on page 11, paragraph 4A and 4B, sit by my saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's gone. That is out. Now, then you had a separate motion about changing the quorum.
Correct.
From 8 to 7.
To be consistent with the meeting quorum that you have established on page 5. Page 5 and page 11. Where you were on page 11, we have a quorum of 8. On page 5, we're recommending a quorum of 7, so for consistency purposes, making 7 the standard quorum on both pages.
And on page 5, now that's under the policy committee, and the quorum under the policy committee, which may have a separate membership composition. Usually a quorum is based on how many members there are. How many members are there under the proposed technical committee?
Let's see, yeah.
So a higher quorum when you got 24 may be appropriate. You're saying just for consistency right. purposes, but the number of people on the policy committee is only 13. So we've got a proposed seven member quorum for the policy committee for 24. But your point's still well made. The quorum could be whatever y'all want to set it at.
Well, normally, Rob, who's ordering the quorum would suggest a third of the members be there. And in the 24 members, a third of that would be 8. But I mean,
right.
You can...
So, but what Daylon is suggesting I should be more formal, but Commissioner Martin suggested is that on page 11, as it pertains to the technical committee, he's not proposing a change, I don't think, to the policy committee. He's proposing a change to the technical committee, where it currently says 8 is the quorum. He's suggesting 7. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
A second. All right, discussion. I mean, do you want to make them consistent, or do you think that the number of seats on the technical committee being 24 requires a higher quorum than 7? But we can make it whatever y'all want to make. So is there a discussion about that?
What is the attendance usually at the technical of the 24 voting members?
I can't base it on the
well, usually the way it is currently, we don't really have a problem.
We usually have about a dozen to 50.
Yeah, we can at least 10 to 12.
Most of those are employees, and they're going to show up when the boss tells them.
but that employee, that's never around.
But you do have 24 voting members, and as you say, they are all employees.
Well, you got an awful lot of folks from the jurisdiction. I'm on page 8,
yeah.
Page 7 and 8, looking at the voting members under the TCC, and you do have the traffic engineer, the sheriff's department, the Macon-Zill County engineer, the Macon-Zill County attorney, the manager of the airport, the economic and community development, so that they're not all one boss.
Right. Well, we got the CAC member on that too. So.
Right.
But you know, we had almost a problem getting a quorum this morning. So I think if we added made that 8 instead of 7, that may cause us not to have a quorum with that committee, the policy committee.
Well, we're not talking about the policy committee. The only one he's talking about is on the technical committee.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can go with 8 on that.
All right, is there further discussion? Do we understand what we're doing here? This is on the technical committee, page 11 in the handout for today, changing the quorum from 8 to 7 was the suggestion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of that motion to change it from 8 to 7, signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
Give me the eyes right quick. Who wants to change it? Dalen, Craig, Mallory, and Al, that's 4. Give me the nose. 1, 2, 3.
Changing it to 8 or from 7 to 8?
You can change it from 8 to 7 on the technical committee. Changing it from 8 to 7 on the technical committee. So we had 4. I forgot a little bit. Yeah, it's a terrible way to run a railroad. All in favor, hold your hand up. All in favor of changing it to 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed to changing it from 8 to 7. All opposed. Come on, y'all. You got to vote. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chair votes. No, so you've got 5 to 4. We'll leave it at 8, so y'all back around and come up with a quorum of 8. That's
only your problem.
Come up with a question. All right. Anything, Jim, back to you. Now, any other changes that you have made in any of these 3 sets of bylaws for the policy committee, the technical committee, or for the citizens advisory committee?
No, sir. I did make a couple of... not content changes, but format changes, mainly because of comments from Federal Highway. They want to make sure that bylaws read as one set of bylaws that apply to the group as chapter. So the CAC doesn't have a separate set of bylaws, and the TCC is not a separate set of bylaws. It's all one set of bylaws that are adopted by the policy board. So I made some minor wording changes in the title of how it's laid out. Also, they want to make sure that the transit authority is a voting member on the policy board because federal law requires that. So we moved into the top of the list. That's what's very prominent, that they're voting on the policy.
All That's on page 3, Jim, of the making this transit start.
Yeah.
As a required voting number.
All right.
Rick, you'll have a seat at the table. No, we're correct. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up executive director and the chairman.
That's a good thing. I'm not paid. He is.
Okay. There is one other change I would like to discuss in the CAC portion of the bylaws on page 13. Currently, the provision of paragraph 5 calls for 4 citizens who reside in the Mass area shall be appointed to represent each of the following organizations, and each organization identified below shall appoint one representative. The AARP is A, the Mason Housing Authority is B, C is the Bibb County Board of Education, and D is one neighborhood group. We don't know which neighborhood group this out of earlier. Now, the second part of that is that I was contacted by the League of Women Voters, who expressed consternation at having been deleted. There had previously been a group that sent a representative, and they expressed to me concern over that. And I thought, well, this would be great, and perhaps we could substitute the League of Women Voters back in the place of one neighborhood group, because of the difficulty in trying to figure out who the one neighborhood group is and how they would be appointed, plus getting the League of Women Voters back involved, like they say they want to be. They have great organization, put out a lot of good information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the chair would love to entertain a motion to substitute League of Women Voters rather than one neighborhood group on page 13.
I'll put a motion.
Thank you.
And
Craig second. Great. Is there further discussion about that? What we're doing is putting the League of Women Voters back in, and we're deleting this one neighborhood group that's unknown who they are. Any further question, comment, discussion about that? Hearing none, then all in favor of that motion, of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, no. The ayes have it, so the League of Women Voters then is D. That's the neighbor, that's the group that will send a representative. All right? All the other,
The CAC has had three called meetings about the bylaws. I sent each one of you on this committee, all the voting and the non-voting members, an email with our proposed CAC bylaw changes. We do not, as a group, unanimously, do not want to be politically appointed. The citizens group is the only citizens' voice in this whole process, and it is important to keep it independent, and it is important to keep it strong. And in the past, when we have had politically appointed people on the CAC, they're not interested, they don't come to meetings, they quit coming. And what happens is, it really just boils down to it's really not effective. So, the CAC has been talking a lot about how to improve. We've met with Jim Thomas and discussed openly and honestly the criticisms of the CAC. And we understand some of the criticisms. We take issue with others. But we have come up with a proposal that we think will work and that keeps the CAC independent and will actually improve the citizens' involvement in the process. Instead of one, the changes basically are, instead of one person from each of the district, the 9 districts, and making them, we are going to have, we propose to have 2. And in addition to those 2, we will have 1 from Jones, 1 from Monroe, and 1 from Payne City. So we will retain the same number of people we actually have now, which is 21. But in addition to that, included in those 21 people are people who represent the constituency groups that we've always had on there, like the AARP, the League of Women Voters. You can see on page
13.
13, We propose to have somebody from the AARP, somebody representing the Nation Housing Authority, a resident who lives there, somebody from the Board of Education, which might be part of the thing, a pedestrian bicycle user, a transit user, disabled population, a disabled transportation user, and neighborhood associations. What we will do is go out to the community, go to each of the nine commissioners and the people in Jones, Monroe, and Dick, and Payne City, and ask for nominations of people, ideas of people who would like to serve, who would have something really good to, who would be interested and take part. And I would like to see as many neighborhood associations represented as possible. So my idea would be to go to Mr. Tillman and Mr. Shepherd and everybody else on the committee, on the commission, and say, give us a list of the neighborhood associations in your district or the groups that serve constituents in your district who have very strong interest in what's going on in Nathan. And we will get in touch with them, and they can give us the names of people who would actually like to serve on the committee. What we will do then is, once we get a whole bunch of people nominated, we will go through the list and decide that we are covering every one of these populations, transit users, etc., and that we have the whole areas covered, two from each of the nine districts in Macon and one from the other three governments. This spreads it out. It assures a geographic balance. It assures an interest balance. We are not, as I said in my email to you, we are not trying to protect turf. We are trying to improve the process. This has come after many, many meetings and many, many hours of discussing the perceptions of the CAC, the problems with the public participation in this process. And so we are making a motion that CAC, as a committee, makes a standing committee, makes a motion that the CAC portion of these bylaws as proposed to you in front of you be replaced with our version, which you've been provided.
I'm sorry.
Motion and second by Commissioner Shepherd, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a clarifying question. On page 14 of your proposed bylaw, the last sentence of paragraph 7 says that all nominations are subject to review and confirmation by a quorum of the CAC.
That's correct.
Meaning that you're the ultimate decider of who's going to be on your
right. As I said, what we anticipate.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the intent. And then you repeat that again on page 15 about vacancies at this meeting, nominations for these positions will be proposed to the CAC, and replacements will be reviewed and confirmed. So again, this confirming that you are kind of self-perpetuating and self-authenticating and self-controlling.
Well, what we're doing is removing it from the political arena to an extent that we're going to be independent. Budget for the TIF is about $180 million. The Macon-Bibb County budget is less than that for the year. And yet, citizens, to what Lindsay said, this budget that we're reviewing here is being approved by people who are not elected. So we want to have a very strong public voice in this process. And we cannot have a very strong public voice if they are political appointees. It just will not happen.
Let me call on Jim Thomas to kind of discuss briefly what the purpose is of the CAC about the diversity of opinion and input by the CAC. He and I had this conversation, gosh,
several weeks ago, if not several months ago, perhaps when we were looking at bylaw changes as to how to encourage and have citizen input from a wide variety of people that would both support as well as those that have some problems. My hang-up is that you have kind of self, not you individually, but members of the CAC have kind of just describe themselves as an opposition group, and to me that's not your purpose. I don't think you're supposed to be an opposition group. I think you're supposed to be a public input group.
Wait a minute, hold on, let me call on Jim first, then you'll
get well, some correction.
Now I'm about to wait a minute. I'm coming right back to you. Jim.
Okay, well, the purpose of the CAC is to provide a forum for public input, simply stated. I mean, the idea is to have really good, across the board, all cross sections of citizens having input into the system, the planning operation. And the problem with the CAC in the past has been, since they are self-perpetuating, that you end up appointing like-minded folks, so that you, when if you're finding a wide cross-section of folks to enter the process, if you have that self-appointment, then you get a very small, narrow segment of the population because you're self-reappointed. That's the problem as I see it.
Now, back to you. Thanks.
Well, what I wanted to say is that the CAC does not necessarily think of itself as an opposition group. What I said was there are people who think it is, and that is because the CAC has opposed some projects that needed, in my opinion, to be opposed, and in a lot of people's opinions needed to be opposed. And I will take umbrage with the idea that we are self-perpetuating only in like-minded people. Our meeting the other night was 2.5 hours. Then we had another meeting on the bylaws that was 2.5 hours, in addition to that. It wasn't if we were all like-minded, there is no way it would take us that long to get through it. We argue, and we talk about each issue a lot, and we talk about it in a great deal of depth that is not present in either one of the committees, frankly. Now, the idea that they should be political appointees is, you know, I understand there's an ease in that. But the problem is then you have political appointees and not necessarily citizens. Our design of our proposed bylaws, which is a motion and then seconded, is to get exactly what Jim is after, a wide swath of the population. We will go to not only every commissioner, but we will go to community groups and neighborhood associations and ask them for input of people to serve on the committee. We're not going to have a litmus test. There's no litmus test that you have to agree with Doc Holliday or me or Michael Ryan or anybody else on the issues. That's not what we're about. We are looking to strengthen the process. We feel that the CAC has been diminished in stature because of the way it's been perceived, and we are addressing that problem with our proposal.
Well, since we're being honest and candid, I take a little bit of umbrage to the idea that because commissioners select and appoint an individual to that's somehow tainted, and they have become political. I think a world, in fact, a majority of boards are populated through nominations and confirmations by the commission. And so I take a little bit of umbrage of the fact that those people aren't independent thinkers and do what they think is supposed to be right for the good of the oil.
I'm an appointee, and I'm a citizen of Macon.
Right.
I was born here, and I'll die here. There's not one person in this room that appointed me to the Transit Authority. This was done by the county, and the only persons left is Burt Bivens and Gary Bechtel. So I take that and what Doc's saying also. Public transportation is a big part of this, and we need to be a part of this. And so I don't like that either. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Shepard.
And my only comment is this, and I think anything we do as a committee to discourage citizen input is just wrong. And I think even though we may have some problems with what CAC may bring us from time to time, I think it's honest input. I'd hate to lose somebody like Mr. Ryan. He's one of the few people I know that ride the streets of Macon with a bicycle. And you know, I don't know who else we'd find to take his place right now. But there, I think anything we do to discourage them is going backwards. And that's why I supported these changes, which I reviewed, you know, before coming here. And they're not that drastic changes. They're some wording changes, but they're not that drastic. And I just want to say I support it.
Further discussion?
Yes, trying to get clarification. Jim, on page 11 of the bylaws, we just removed items A and B because the federal highway suggested that we adopt bylaws meaning that we're all one. How do you explain that? That we don't need to appear to be that the CAC nor the MATS committee all have different bylaws? Is you understand?
No, sir. Those changes on page 11, the way it was written allowed for proxy voting away from the meeting.
Okay.
So that's unrelated. However, he did say that the Federal Highway had recommended that we have one set of bylaws, not three different sets of bylaws, one set of bylaws with chapters related to the policy committee, the TCC and the CAC,
right,
kind of thing. So your point is still well taken, that these are supposed to be bylaws that we come up with, not just one of the three groups. That's not to say that the citizens decide to make recommendations and suggestions to them, but those.
Well, let me say this. During our budget process and making the accounting, because when we start just talking about us as individuals, we're getting away from the whole MATS committee that's made up of folks from the entire region, that we do, before we adopt our budget, by law, we have to have public input.
Sure.
As a former member of, and I serve as a former member of the CAC, I don't know if things have changed, and possibly the meetings went long because usually there was not an agenda set. That was usually one or two people that, you know, had things that they just wanted to talk about, and we end up for 2 hours or 3 hours discussing those things. I haven't been there in a while. I don't know if those things have changed. I do think that whatever the concerns are with CAC, that we address them, and that everybody feel like he or she is a part of the entire process. You know, we all hear sometimes perception is reality, and it's been stated many times that, you know, CAC members or opposition group, you know, I've read what, you know, sometimes they alluded to that as a joke themselves. Whatever we can do here to make everybody feel comfortable with the new bylaws and going forward, and to make sure that we have citizen input, because before we all were elected, at some point we were all citizens watching the process. I know I've watched the process for a long time, and although now I'm political, I'm close to the community, and I consider myself a community commissioner. And so anything I do, I have these citizens concerned, and hopefully their input and best interest at heart before I make any decision.
Any further comment or question about this? No, let me tell you what, Mr. John.
Just to say, you know, the people on the Citizens Advisory Committee, they have spent a lot of time, a lot of energy. They're concerned citizens. And I don't think it, I don't think we can take offense that us on the commission or whoever the nine commissioners shall appoint somebody. They are the Citizens Advisory Committee. Certainly, Craig Ross should be on here. Absolutely. He knows a whole lot more about this than I do. And I just think they provide invaluable service, and we need to listen. We the people, we need to listen to the citizens. So I'm in favor of their proposal. I think it's comprehensive as far as getting representation from each group you could think of that needs to be on there. And I think it's a good plan. I think it's fair. It's still the Citizens Advisory Committee. So when we talk about it being self-perpetuating, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's the Citizens Advisory Committee. And they say they've addressed issues, and I believe them. So I appreciate their time and interest, and I like the proposal.
Several points. No offense was meant to any of the commissioners or anybody who might appoint somebody, and certainly not to the Transit Authority, because the citizens, the CAC has always supported the Transit Authority and pushed for things that nobody else was pushing for. The reality of it is that in the past, when in years and years ago, what happened was a lot of the members were appointed by either the county commissioners or the city council folks. And they had problems, probably maybe when I was there, of getting a quorum. They just often did not have a quorum. I can guarantee you, since we have segued into for the last 7, 8, 9 years of not being appointees and interpreting the bylaws to say that the membership is decided by the policy that we choose the members, we don't have a problem getting a quorum, and we don't have a problem retaining very many members. So it's important that we have a functioning thing, a committee. We want to be a strong voice. We want to see a lot of other things done for the public outreach thing. That's why we're asking questions of Don. The public often doesn't know what happens in this room except what they read in the paper the next day, and that's kind of the extent of it. When a big project is going through and GDOT comes down, they have a meeting in the neighborhood, some people show up, but there's often not a lot of information that is given that is really worthwhile because they don't answer questions. I've been to too many of them, and I can say that with all due respect. But the CAC is the proposal that we have on the table to replace that portion of them. And it's not separate bylaws. It's all part of one bylaws. We all understand the policy committee that, you know, controls the bylaws for all three committees. But the CAC is one small part. One vote on this committee as it stands now, as opposed to 12, 13 others. We need to have an independent voice, and that's what we're after, and that's what we want to keep. That's what we have, and that's what we want to keep. We've put term limits in there, which I don't think were in there before, which means that some of the problems that people have had with people staying on and the same people showing up, you know, A, there's an advantage to that because they understand the issues, but B, it could be that they want, you know, that we need new blood. So that way we put term limits in. So we hope that the committee will see the value of the public participation and an honest and independent public voice.
One other point of clarification just for me on page 14. The CAC proposal. It's got a pedestrian, bicycle user, a transit user, an environmental interest disabled person user. Are those people selected by the CAC as well?
Yes, those. We will have two members of the public chosen who live in each of the 9 main convention districts.
Right. So, and
all right, then we'll have one from the other 3. And it did from
Jones,
Monroe, and Payne City. So we're covering the whole Mass area. So we'll have the same number of people we have now, which is 21. Among those 21 people are representatives who will do the AARP, who will do double duty. They will actually represent a neighborhood association, as well as probably be a transit user. There'll be a neighborhood association person who may also be the AARP or the lead person The idea is that we'll have double duty, and we'll have, and then those people will go back out into their communities and actually report to a neighborhood association, for instance, what's going on and what's going to impact their neighborhood and what's, you know, what doctors need. Right now, the way it's set up and the way that the proposed bylaws is that they don't necessarily, half of them are simply individuals who are not representing anybody else. So when we get our pool of nominations and possibilities and volunteers together, the idea is that we will make sure that all the bases are covered, including the league and AARP, et cetera.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. President.
Mr.
My question would be to the CHC. How can they say that they're concerned about political appointees if we're making all the appointees when in essence they're doing the same thing as the CAC? He just stated that most of the community gets their information from the newspaper. Well, who's fault is that? If the Citizen Advisory Committee is made up of citizens, where's your newsletter? Where's your social media? If the public should know about these things, that's why there was always a CAC for citizens' input. And so it's not relied on newspapers. And what has happened is that
this website has
come up now about these bylaws, and now the CAC says, give us a chance now to finally do something when they haven't done anything in years. And so we can't continue to wait till all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, well, here's the solution. And they say, well, now wait, let us come up with something on our own. I think it's past time. It's time to move on.
Let me tell you where we are.
I want to address that, please.
Well,
I cannot tell you, Mr. Tillman, how many times the Citizens Advisory Committee has asked for some sort of budget to get out the information and do newsletters, et cetera. There apparently is no money for it. I don't believe that, but that's what we typically told. I think we could delve in and do it, but we have tried, as long as I've been on the CAC, which has been several years, to try to get a budget to do exactly what we're talking about. We've never gotten one dime to do it.
Let me tell you where we are now. The motion is to substitute the Citizen Advisory Committee portion of the bylaws that has been presented to us here today in place of the draft that has been discussed at previous meetings. So that's the content of the motion, as I understand it, to replace in bulk the Citizen Advisory Committee, the draft motion or proposal went out. Is there further discussion? And all those in favor of...
My question. Who makes the initial appointments?
It sounds to me like the nine members of the commission make two nominations that can either be accepted or rejected by the commission, by the Citizens Advisory Committee. So it reduces your role, whoever you suggest they can either take or discard.
But my question is this,
is the way I read this.
My question is this, does this dissolve the current CAC and then you reset? Who makes the initial? Who gathers those, that public?
CAC, well, I'm just reading on page 12 of that article. CAC should be composed of 21 citizen representatives. The structure of the CAC is 18 citizens. There shall be appointed two citizens to reside in each of the nine districts, appointed with nominations for these positions coming from the Macon-Bibb County Board of Commissioners, community organizations, or citizens at large. But then when you get down to
page 14, all nominations subject to review and confirmation by quorum of the CAC.
Who is the CAC at that point? My question.
Well, I think maybe to answer your question, if you go to page 14, read number 8, it's anticipated. Not necessarily this exact situation, but certainly going forward, and I think it would apply now as well.
To elaborate on that a little bit, is it all positions are vacant? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's to be determined. It depends on, I don't know.
Further questions, comments, or concerns? Yeah. We're here at this point. We're members of the commission, and not public input at this point. So, from the members, voting members of the policy committee, further questions, comments, or concerns? If not, I assume you're ready to vote. So, all in favor of substituting the CAC version of the bylaws so that it's signified by holding up your hand on the count of 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed, hold up your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. The chair votes no. 5, 4. So that fails. We're back to the version that was handed out, as amended by the one thing, adding in the League of Women Voters instead of one neighborhood group. So we're back to that, and the other two portions, the policy committee and the technical committee. Do I have a motion to approve these?
Is that an amendment to propose?
Well, let's see if I get. I'm not even sure I need it, but let's see if I get a motion to adopt these as with the one amendment, which is the ones that we started off with, the ones that were prepared by the committee, the ones that were passed out last time, with the one amendment substituting League of Women Voters.
Somebody
got a motion?
No, second.
A second by Mr. Patterson. Now, you have an amendment to that? Okay, what's another amendment?
My amendment is to change the makeup of the committee, the policy committee, the voting members of the policy committee, to the 9 Macon Bibb district commissioners, the mayor of Macon, the mayor of Payne City, someone from the chair of the Jones County Commission, the chair of the Monroe County Commission, and director of the Macon County Authority.
In other words, leaving off these other government agencies, is that what you're
saying? As voting members, the rest of them could stay on as non-voters, but those would be the voting members of the policy committee.
Okay, so
let me make one correction. That probably should be the chair instead of the director.
Correct.
It's our understanding that the transit has to be on the policy. And we have no problem with that. But this is to assure that what happens in this committee, that there is accountability for it. And we have accountability for that. They are elected officials.
Is there a second to that amendment? Supposedly.
I'm sorry.
Then that's supposed to be, as I understand it, did you say that you would have all 9 of the commissioners to make it again?
Yes.
Rather than just 3.
As well as you.
Well, so that'd be 10 from Bibb County, 1 from Jones, 1 from Monroe,
1 up from Payne,
1 from the mayor of Payne City,
and 1 from the transfer.
So you have 9, +1, +1, +1, +1, 1, 2, 3, 12, 13, and the chairman of the transit authority, 10, 11, 12, 13, that would be a total of 14, and you would deny a vote to the chairman of the Middle Georgia Regional Commission, you would deny a vote to the chairman of the Macon Bibb County Planning Zoning Commission, you would deny a vote to the chairman of the, no, maybe we can't. What about what we want to do with him? He's not one of the ones you called out.
No.
So he's denied a vote to the Water Authority, denied a vote to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation,
What about the chairman of the Citizens Advisory Committee? You left yourself out.
Yeah, I did.
So you wouldn't have a vote then?
That's right. Correct. And neither would the chair of the technical committee, unless they're one of those elected.
Wow. Okay.
Can I ask just Javi one question, just real quick?
Yes, sir.
Why would y'all leave yourself out then? Because if being the representative of the CAC, I feel like you would need a vote.
Well, frankly, the way the CAC is going to be set up, it's going to be ineffective. I don't think we'll really have any useful input. We'll have to do it in some other form. So, but the idea is to have these decisions, which are taxpayer-funded things, that actually, they're more than the Bibb County budget, decided by elected officials who are accountable and can then be voted out if they are voting the wrong way. That's the idea. I don't necessarily think that the Macon Water Authority folks, they have a very strong place on the technical committee, and I don't necessarily think that they need to have a voice on here that would stay as that. I'm not opposed to that because they are an elected official, but I think policy committee should be, voting members of the policy committee should be elected.
All right, we got a motion and a second to change the policy committee of voting member compositions to be the mayor of Macon, 9 members of the Macon-Bibb Commission, 1 member of Jones County Commission, 1 member of Monroe County Commission, and the mayor of Payne City, and the chairman of the Transit Authority for a total of 13. Any other questions about that? All right, all in favor of that amendment, signify by raising your hand. 2, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, opposed. All right, that fails. That brings us back now to the motion which has been made, motion and seconded for the bylaws, with the only amendment that we have approved being the legal women voters in place of the neighborhood group. As we discussed, and for the composition of the Citizens Advisory Committee. So we're back to this. Any further questions? Assume you're ready to vote. All in favor of this set of bylaws as amended with that one amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The ayes have it. The bylaws are adopted. Now we got to go to the memorandum of understanding right quick. And we're at 11 o'clock now. Still got a lot long way to go, y'all. So this is item 3, the Unified Planning Work UPWP for 2016. Jim, tell us about it.
Well, hello, you.
I'm sorry. That's the same part of the MAT bylaws. We're still under that. All right, so this is the MOU. Go ahead, Jim.
The MOU is basically a document that assigns the responsibilities and tasks some of the partners in the MATS, and we sent this out with a notice of the meeting, and you'll see in the documents that we took the existing MOU that's been in place since 1996, I think, and went through and made changes, and you'll see the strike out of the things we're taking out. Red is the language we're adding. There was the Federal Highway GDOT has reviewed this. Some of the language that was added and changed as a result of their comments. And most of the additions help clarify everybody's roles and responsibilities. And the idea is that if this is approved by this body, then all the partners that have to sign on this MOU. So I guess if any questions I can try to answer. I'm not sure if you go through it line by line, but your organization will be asked to sign this, so let's go to this body first.
Questions, comments about the MOU?
Jim, these are just updates to keep us current, is this right?
Right. We added Monroe County. We changed some language because of those comments from Federal Highway. We changed language so that making NPOs and MATs, where one program is called MATs, instead of making NPO. So it's basically an update of our current MOU.
I've got a question from CAC. Does this go out for public comment?
No.
Should it have been on the agenda as an action item?
It is as part of the bylaws.
I don't see it. It's
part of the bylaws.
Explain that.
Part number two on the agenda items.
I don't think the CAC had an adequate time to review this. It wasn't clear to us that this was going to be voted on today. At the meeting we had 2 weeks ago, we were saying, well, what, okay, you've given us some changes, but where was the original MOU? And we just got the original MOU less than a week ago by email. So we were unable to study it. If this group wants to vote on this thing without adequate oversight, that's your decision, but I'm making a motion to table this.
Are you sitting in behind
the point? Yes, sir.
You've got a proxy.
With all due fairness,
how many left?
You want me to come in here and say I'm his proxy?
That's what you have to do.
It's a point of order. If Jaime leaves, we lose quorum.
No, we've got nine, and eight is a quorum.
Sorry about that.
Right, as I understand it, right?
Yeah,
we can't.
Yeah.
So we'd still be at eight.
Is the chair trying to keep the CAC from having a voice in this matter?
No, sir. But I'm trying to follow the bylaws, and the bylaws say who's supposed to be here. And if you can't be here, then do a proxy. And we've been trying to accommodate proxies. But wouldn't you be a little bit miffed if I substituted somebody for me? Well, at the last minute, if you didn't know.
No, if they were equal.
Now, are you step
okay, sir?
Yes.
Then somebody suggests that after the before.
I'm stepping out too.
Somebody suggests an absence of a form if my release.
There is an absence if he leaves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So if you have to leave, I understand that you have to leave, but if you don't have to leave, don't leave. I do that.
Wish I could have stood in and made it a quorum, sir.
Get a proxy. Go get a proxy. In the absence of a quorum, we can't do official business at this point. So the memorandum of understanding can be circulated, but it has not been finally approved. Changes could have not been finally approved. But just circulate them, and we'll probably gonna get back together again. When's our next meeting?
First instance.
I'm going to probably have to have a call meeting prior to that at some point in time to get us all back together to discuss this.
That's the document you can let me see as well.
Right.
If you want to resend it, they've already sent it out to everybody once. If you want to resend it?
No.
No, just put it on the agenda. They've all been circulated. Just put it on the agenda as an action item, and we'll have a special call meeting between now and the end of the year.
Set that now, or?
Yes, sir.
If you start a meeting with a quorum and members leave,
somebody can suggest the absence of a quorum at any point. The absence of a quorum defeats further action by the meeting. Can't start with a quorum and lose it and end up with less than a quorum to vote. That's my understanding.
How about the week? How about November 19th? Two days from today.
I'm September, November the 19th.
I'm just throwing that out.
9:30? 9:30, November 19th? 9:30, going once?
Yeah, that's fine.
November 19th, going twice? All right. We have a special call. We have a special call meeting 9:30, November the 19th, and at that point in time, we'll take up the balance of this agenda for the MOU, the Unified Planning Work Program. Jack, I'm going to ask you at this point, just for information purposes only, to go ahead and give us a project status before we can receive information without a quorum. We can receive information, we just won't take any official action, but at least get it out.
You won't need for one last vote?
Yes, sir. That would be great. We've reestablished the quorum. So the item before us is the MOU for the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Shall I entertain a motion to approve as submitted?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the MOU, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. That's been adopted. One more vote for the UPWC, Unified Plan of Work Program. Yeah?
Yep.
How quickly can you go through that for us and tell us what we got?
I'll just briefly go over this. The UPW taking the contribution. What this really does is outline all the work programs and tasks that we'll be working on in the next fiscal year. This is FY16.
Second momentarily. Restroom break.
Okay. Like I said, this document really outlines all the transportation planning tasks and studies that will be conducted by our office of the next fiscal year. This is FY 2016. And the responsibility of the Unified Plan Work Plan is the responsibility of our office. And our office works under the direction of the MAS committee as well as the state officials. And briefly, what I want to talk about is just some of the individual programs that are in the UPWP on page number 7. And the UPWP, this is the MAS program. We've increased the budget amount for this particular work item compared to last year's task. And what this does, the objective of this program is to provide technical and administrative support for the transportation planning process. And these tasks include administering all the MAS committee, the policy, technical, as well as the CAC. And also involves working with the air quality partners for the interagency consultation process. Okay. And one more item I want to talk about is on page number 13. This is the Citizens Outreach and Education, and this is providing citizen information to assist the public in understanding the transportation planning process and to maintain the community outreach. And as part of this, we'll be doing a newsletter as well as conducting meetings and updating on the website. And also, as part of this, public participation plan will be updated as well as implemented. And the final project I want to talk about is on page number 18. This is our long-range transportation plan. Part of this element will be updating and maintaining the 2040 LRTP, which will ensure its compliance with all the requirements of the MAP 21 program. And we've also increased the funding amount for this particular item compared to last year. And our next LRTP update is in year 2017. And we'll actually be doing some work in regards to that LRTP, future LRTP, in this fiscal year for the future for 2016.
State Route 22, County Road 715, Oxford Road, a roundabout project, then later this funding becomes available. Project account number 7-001-2699, Pleasant Hills Neighborhood Improvements, Phase 1B. Project scheduled for fiscal year 16 let date. Project account number 8-575 from State Route 247 to County Road 85, Park Ride Road, replace the lighting. It's off the BNP work this month, so later than chosen. You notice at the bottom of the sheet, I think it's project counts 13 through 19. These are not some maintenance resurfacing type projects that will be later funding becomes available. Project count number 20, State Route 49, Brooklyn Settlement Railroad, 8.5 miles south of Gray, the bridge replacement. A little behind the baseline schedule. The project manager, Adam Smith, has got the calendar schedule under review. I need to call you and move in the way of preliminary field time. On the long range sheets 3 and 4, no computer changes for those comments. Maybe you had an update on the Forest Hill Road as far as reviewing the footprint. I know the board not brother was taking a look.
My understanding is that their Norcross office was the one that was actually involved in that. Still, Van Etheridge said another week or so they thought they would have some recommendations. I'm going to tell you about that. All right.
So that's what I have for you all. Good. Any comments?
Great. Then we go new business. Two items of new business that I would like to refer to the technical committee. Number one is the 7th Street truck route. It is currently in our long-range plan, but because of the SC2 initiative and some brownfield grants that we're going after to rehabilitate brownfields along 7th Street, that may lend even more credence to doing the truck route. The engineer's office gave me an updated version with a grade separation of the railroad, and it was about $8 million, give or take, a little bit, to build a new bridge. And the Norfolk Southern indicated that they were more than willing to entertain that, originally we thought that a bridge over the railroad would interfere with the line of sight, and they said, no, we can put a camera at that if we really need to. So I want y'all to check with Norfolk Southern. I want you to check with this and see what it would take to move that up on our list, because it's currently, this thing is in about 2030 or something like that.
2040, actually.
Or 2040. So I want to see if the policy committee can investigate it and bring it back to us to see if we can move it up on the list because of these other developments. And then finally, this is a really out of the ballpark thing that I want the technical committee to look at, as well as GDOT representatives. In light of the Clayton County vote yesterday to extend MART rail into Clayton County, perhaps as far south as Jonesboro, that's going to lend additional emphasis and impetus to intercity passenger rail and commuter rail. And I would like to see what it would take to get the GDOT multimodal office to start looking at this with us and see what it would take if we could put this on a long-range plan. Start percolating. If we don't put it on the internet, so I'm referring this back to see what that would say should have been. Okay. Anything else anybody's got, as long as we are out of the ballpark for new business?
Yeah. Can I just ask one question real quick on the proxies? We have, yes, and I'm going back, but just let me, bear with me just a minute. Do we need to advise you before the meeting, or can I give you a name and let it be a part of the minutes and it be ongoing?
Okay. Going forward, the proxies will be identified at the first review, the first meeting. So that person will always be a proxy for that year.
Okay. Good. That's all.
Staff will have a list of the proxies at all the meetings.
Good.
That's all I need to know. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Canceling the 19th meeting.
Canceling the 19th meeting.
Yeah.
We got to catch quorum and did all the things we need to do.
Right.
So happy holidays. Let's come back. Yeah, by meeting on what, February or what?
Anything that you can, we're your strongest advocate. We were just trying to go as far as we can. You're right.
I'm passionate about
it. Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to be involved in stuff, right? I'm not going to say, yeah, I'll be a member, never show up.
Mm-hmm.
But that just pissed me off, to be honest. And, this is my home. And, it just didn't go on. I know y'all backed us. I know y'all.
Right.
You don't know how to do it. But every once in a while, something comes across and just throws me a curveball.
Right. I
need to get over it.
We're still on our side.
I know you are.
I know you are. But, sometimes we just have to agree to disagree.
Right.
That's the political process.
That's it.
Well, I've had 2 days.
He told me my face turned red. I didn't mean for that.
I didn't mean anything in 2 days.
But I appreciate
you. My back record is good right now.
Thanks for trying to help us.
But I agree with you.
And, he's saying,